I think one of the last things we ended off with, the last time we recorded our discussions in the sugya, was the Magen Avraham versus the Taz back in Tav Kuf Tes. I don't know if you don't have the sheets handy, it's fine. But if you recall, in arguing about Halacha V'Ein Morin Kain, Magen Avraham and Taz differed in the following case. The Magen Avraham says, "Hu adin shein osin kain b'fnei rabim." That's in line with what the Drisha wrote, right? The Drisha said, if it's not something that you should tell people, you shouldn't do it in front of them either. So the Magen Avraham is saying the same thing. Shein osin kain b'fnei rabim. Ela imkein motzi l'ishtamutei. Unless you could do it in such a way where they could attribute it to something else, right? If they could say, oh, he's probably wearing his tefillin because he wants to be shown with them, then you're allowed to do it. Remember, that was his lashon over here. Again, this is the Drisha and Simon Lamed in Archaim in Sifkat and Aleph, at the end of Sifkat and Aleph. Ve'ein morin kein hachi pirusho. Medina, this is again within the approach that the Tur and the Rosh are in agreement. Laila zman tefillin hu l'chol davar afilu anicham l'charchila. Ela according to Tur and the Rosh, she'ein morin kein beferish. But you don't tell people expressly that they're allowed to put on tefillin at night. She'ein lasos kein maisa l'charchila mnei haroa. But that's only putting them on l'charchila. So similarly over here, the Magen Avraham is saying included in ein morin kein means hu hadin. This also includes what? Shein osin kain b'fnei rabim, unless you can do it in such a way that it could be attributed to something else. Ve'al gabe mashchezes, and with regard to taking the knife and rubbing it on the mashchezes, on the wedding stone, afil lahavir shamnu nisa ein morin. You're not allowed to paskin that you're allowed to take the knife and wipe it on the stone for the purpose of rubbing off the shamnunis. The grease, the fat. Now the Taz says, "Avala havira shamnunis hasakin agabe etzal cheres osakin morin berab melhatir."
Why wouldn't you be able to do that? What's the case there? Is it meat grease there? And what's the?
So that was the question. That was the question that we ended off with. And if you remember, Daniel Krasna had an approach. Daniel, you remember what you said there? You could say no if you don't, it's fine.
No.
Does anyone else remember?
I wasn't here.
You weren't here? Okay. Yeah, I think what you wanted to say was the following. I think what you wanted to say was that the machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you come to Chacham to ask the Shaila about wetting the knife on Yontif, he has to say it's Aser. But the Taz and Magen Avraham argue where the Chacham is asked, is it mutt to take off the Shamnunis? Right? Is it mutt to take off the Shamnunis, which is on the blade? So Magen Avraham says, no, you're not allowed to, you have to tell him it's Aser. And the Taz is Mekel. So what I think you wanted to say was that the Machlokas here is, how far do we go in understanding halacha ve'ein morin kain being predicated on a fear that someone may come to do the wrong thing, or someone might misinterpret the psak? According to the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham was the one that said what? What was the Magen Avraham?
Unless they can do it in such a way that it is contributed to something else.
Right, Magen Avraham says it's aser. It's aser to tell them that you're allowed. You can't be moret to them.
What does that mean? Like, if you see the Rebbe doing...
No, if he comes to you and asks you, can I take my knife and wipe off the shamnunis on the mashchezes, you have to tell him no. Yeah, right? Again, the Mechaber says, e'mashchezes ha-sakin b'mashchezes shela avon mechad v'al ha'etz al acheres al even ve'ein morim dar v'zel ha-rabim.
What's this?
Right, you can't wet the knife on the wedding stone, but you can rub it on wood, cheres, or stone. But you don't tell this to the rabbi. Why? Because they might come to be mashkaz on actual mashkazes. Okay?
I'm in the case of tefillin, though. Let's say...
Forget about 1 second. So over here, Magen Avraham says, not only is it ain't morin, but you yourself can't do it. You can't do it in front of people that might come to misinterpret it and actually do the sharpening on the mashkaz unless what you're doing looks like you're being ma'avir shalnunis. So now, let's say they come to you and they ask you, are you allowed to be ma'avir shalnunis? You're not allowed to say that either, according to Magen Avraham. So, right? Not allowed to do that either.
What's this issue of the knife, though? Is there a background to
that? Now I'll sharpen a knife on a mashbiz. That's makshire.
On a mash?
I realize it's been a few days since we saw this. We have a rule that ochel nafesh is mutter on yantif. I mean, you can cook on yantif. But the question is, what about makshire ochel nafesh? What about those things that are not for cooking per se, but they're preparatory? Can you do that? Like sharpening a knife for shlita. So, lahalacha, we paskin like those shitas that say machshiri ochel nefesh that I could have done before yom tif, that's aser. So if the knife was dull yesterday on erev yom tif, then I should have sharpened it on erev yom tif. I have no right to sharpen it today. However, let's say it was sharp today. It was sharp today, but I used it already and now it became somewhat dull. That's different. Then I could do it. I'm allowed to sharpen it. So the Gemara brings down from the Rav Nechemia, Bereid Rav Yosef, he says, I was in front of Rava, and I saw him taking his knife and passing it puma de dekula. And I said, l'chadada ka'avir mar, o l'havir shamnunis, shamnunisa. And he said to me, v'amr li, l'havir shamnunisa. But I saw, he says, v'chazisu l'dayte, no, he wasn't really doing it for the purpose of shamnunis. He was doing it for the purpose of sharpening it. Not on the mashkas, but he was doing it on the wood for the purpose of sharpening it. So Reb Nechemia felt that Rava understood that you're allowed to sharpen your knife. However, he didn't want to be mefarsim this halacha, because it was halacha v'morin came. Okay, so Rashi says, he was choshesh that if it would get out and people would learn that this was a heter, then those people that weren't so knowledgeable, they would actually come to be mashkas the stone on the mashkazas, which was also according to everybody. Not allowed to use the mashkazas on yantif according to everybody. So, okay, we gave different reasons why that might be so. That's real old dechol. Okay, but taking it in some other way and sharpening it is mutter under certain circumstances. So therefore, he preferred to conceal this hat there and allow him to think that he was just wiping off the shamnunis. So now, the Gemara stands for the proposition that he had to tell him something. He sees him doing this action, so what's he going to do? He can't tell him he's allowed to sharpen it, because that's halacha v'morin king. So he says, I asked, are you doing that to wipe off the shamnunis? He tells him, yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
That was okay. No, so now the Magen Avraham says, so let's say a guy comes and says, am I allowed to take the knife and pass it over those substances, not the mashkas, pass it over the other substances for the purpose of wiping off the shamnunis? Magen Avraham says, no. Ain't morin, you're not allowed to tell him he's allowed to do that.
Maybe you could do it.
Well, you can do that. You can even do more than that.
You can do it in a public way.
What's
just,
that?
You can even do it in a public way. You could even take your...
you have to do it in a way that it looks like you're doing something else. It has to look like you're wiping off the shamnunis.
Correct.
But now if a guy comes and says, can I rub off the shamnunis?
No,
yeah, exactly.
So even though you're sitting in front of him doing your own shamnunis business, you still have to say, no, you can't do this.
Right. So what kind of psak is that? What kind of position is that?
Beautiful.
So what Daniel Krasner wanted to say was that according to the Magen Avraham, even giving a heter, even issuing a psak of heter, of saying it's mutter, to tape off the shamnunis, could also lead people to think that any type of sharpening on any type of substance is mutter. Now that is like two steps removed. That's two steps removed. How far are we going to go with this hurrah? Meaning, am I not allowed to give any psak that relates to the action of chidur? Right? Can I not paskin in any way that this action of chidud, of sharpening, is mutter? The Magen Avraham says, that's right. You can't give a hora'ah on any maisa that resembles chidud. But what about the tas? The tas says, no, we don't go that far. Tas says, we don't go that far. You don't have to be choshesh that far. Because the act of chidud on other substances is mutter. So since the act of chidud on other substances is mutter, I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have to worry about by allowing him to think that I'm wiping the shamnunis off on wood, that he's then going to come to sharpen on a stone. That's too far removed. I'm not worried about the maisa per se. Now, the Magen Avraham is more focused on the maisa. It's ain morin kein on a maisa of doing this, regardless of what I say it's for. I can't give a hurrah, I can't give a psak that this is permissible. But the Taz is saying, no, I'm allowed to give a hurra on this Maisa, right? Because this Maisa is not per se an act of sharpening. I just can't give a hurra on an act of sharpening. The Magen Avraham is more focused on the Maisa.
So you can give a hurra in general, because you don't want to tell the Rav might do something wrong. That's according to the Magen
Avraham. Right, but how far does it go? Taz is like, only can give a hurra on an act which is an act of sharpening. Now, there are some acts of sharpening which are mutter and some acts of sharpening which are asur. So don't give a heter on an act of sharpening when it will lead to people coming to do the prohibited type of sharpening. Magen Avraham says, I can't even give a heter on that very motion. Right? The motion of taking, it's not sharpening, it's just wiping off the shamnunis. But it's categorically removed from what's allowed to be included in Horah. But what I think we started to say last time, that was Daniel Krasner's approach, but what I think we started to say last time was perhaps that there's another approach in terms of how to understand Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain, that according to the Taz, who has the more permissive view over here, Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain is pointed at what? Meaning the fact that I withhold certain information. What's the purpose? To prevent a mishap, to prevent something from going awry, to prevent someone from doing something wrong. But it's not to totally obscure the heter. It's not to take the heter and totally remove it. Right? You're not totally abolishing the heter. But the Magen Avraham, he says, no, once you get the Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain, it's like you can't issue the heter at all. There's no way to issue that heter. No way to issue a permissive ruling on this matter. But that sort of comes back, the reason why I mention that now is because it sort of comes back to this Bach. The Bach has a chiddush. The Bach says, Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain doesn't mean that I can't paskin that way. Because he says there's no difference, something that I'm allowed to tell someone, there's no difference in his mind, there's no difference between what I could tell a yachid and what I could tell the rabbin. That's not what Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain means. You're allowed, something that's mutter, you're allowed to tell people. So what's Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain? Big chiddush. It just means that as between the Daraisa and the Darabanan, at least in the case of the Tefillin, as between the Daraisa and the Darabanan, we're not Mora, we don't paskin in line with the Daraisa. The Halacha is that you're allowed to put on Tefillin at night. If you hold Laila's Man Tefillin, Ein Morin Kain. But really, rabbinically, we're worried that people are going to come to fall asleep and they're going to be Mefiach and they're going to desecrate their Tefillin. Therefore, Ein Morin Kain. So if a person now does this, is he over Nisa Daraisa? No, he's not over Nisa Daraisa, because that's really the Halacha. That is the Halacha. He's not over a lav, but he's in violation of the rabbinic Ein Morin Kain. So like you said, Daniel, it sounds like the Bach is almost understanding that it's Ein Morin Kain means we know that this is Mutter Min HaTorah, but Ein Morin Kain, we don't paskin in line with the Daraisa, which makes it sound like it's almost like a regular Darabana. It's like a rabbinic violation, a rabbinic prohibition that was put in place. That's not the way that it is typically understood. All the other Meforshim seem to understand Ein Morin Kain means on some level that I'm not allowed to issue a public hora. The Drisha and then the other Meforshim that we saw basically said you're not allowed to, and we said the Drisha is in line with the Rashi, who says that the problem is doing this barabim. I can't get up and publicly give a shiur where people are not necessarily going to be able to distinguish. But someone who comes to ask me a shiloh, assuming that he's someone that could understand what I'm saying, I'm allowed to tell him that. And he says that again, that's the parenthetical over here. Ain perusha kamo ba'alma she'ain morin kain l'shoa habo l'shoa echadin ela kamosha kasavnu. It's not stam that you can't answer someone with this information, it's that you can't get up and darshan in public. And that, we saw the story with the Rav also, the story with the Rav brought down in, what was it, in the Panini Harav, on page Kufnun Gimel, where he gave the shir about the Gvinas Akum in his base medrash in Yeshiva University. Later that night, some balabas in the shul asks him about the same thing. He says, no, tell me I'm saying my height. This morning you said it's mutter, and now the same day you're telling this fellow it's asur. So he says, yeah, this is Halacha Ve'ein Morin Kain. Well, what do you mean? But you said it in Shir this morning. Isn't that Morin Kain? So he tells him, no. Just like Rashi and Tainus says about a particular thing, that we're not mafarsim this particular thing. Rashi put it in print. Rashi put in print, isn't that the opposite of being mefarsim? No, because someone's on the level of understanding, getting to the limud, reading the Gemara, reading Rashi, is not on the level where we say ein morin kein to that person. So too, someone who's holding by learning and asks a shayla, you would tell him, yeah. You tell him it's mutter. That's not, according to the traditional understanding, that's not what the problem ein morin kein is. But the Bach says there's no difference between rabbim and yachid. You're allowed to tell them what's mutter. You're allowed to tell them what's mutter. You're allowed to tell them that they don't have to take off the tefillin before nightfall. What's ein morin kein? Ein morin kein regarding the fact that really min haTorah you're allowed to put on tefillin at night. Lail allows man tefillin, but yeah, ein morin kein. That's a big chiddush, the Bach saying. That's not the traditional.
So is it like we don't hold like this?
This is not the way we issue the halacha. This is not the way we hand down the halacha. Halacha is not stated like it really is in terms of the Torah. That's the way the Bach seems to be learning halacha ein morin kein, at least in this case.
So the Bach says there's no difference between rabbim and yachid.
That's right. Meaning if it's permissible to tell the yachid, it's permissible to tell the rabbim. And that's not. And he says when it's mutter, it's mutter. Halacha ein morin kein, according to the Bach, is a very narrow understanding, very narrow application.
So the ein morin kein is you don't tell them the.
Who? According to the Bach?
Yeah.
According to the Bach, ein morin kein means this is not the way we.
You don't tell the deraisa if there's a
no.
Subset
deraisa. Right, we don't paskin the law in line with the deraisa. We paskin in line with the rabbinic concerns. We issue the. Right, exactly. We issue the hora'ah, and that is the rule. That is the rule. Yeah. That doesn't change for anybody.
Yeah.
That doesn't change for anybody, according to the Bach. No one is allowed to put on tefillin at night. If he did, you're not over the law. He's just in violation of the Rabbanan.
Yep, paskin in line with the Rabbanan.
But he wants to say that's halacha for everybody.
Yep.
But there is one case, and I'll just end off with this. There is one case where we even say that when someone comes to ask the Shaila, right, so the Drisha says, someone who asks the Shaila, then you're allowed to tell him. That's morin for that person. But when it comes to the Rabbim, we don't give over this information. It's dangerous for the Rabbim. Person who's holding by learning, you can tell him, yeah, that's mutter. Alright? There is one case where even where the person comes and asks the question, we don't give that as a psak. That as far as a psak goes, we can't. Ain morin kein in that case means no. There's no way that psak can be issued as a psak. And that was the case.
Even though it's true.
That's right. That's right. That's the case of
the shiksabam.
The shiksabam. Kanayim Pogimbo. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Pei Beis, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haba Limloch, Ein Morinloch. That's one case. Even the guy comes to ask the Shaila, we don't paskin this way for him. Velo od, El Hashem Piresh, Zimri Vahargo Pinchas, Neragalav. Nefach Zimri Vahargo Pinchas, Ein Neragalav. Shairodefu.
Kanayim Pogimbo are disgusting.
Kanayim Pogimbo? That means the. Kanayim Pogimbo means the zealot is allowed to go after him and kill him.
Pogimbo is disgusting, though, right?
Pogimbo means he can run through, get attacked.
Oh, okay.
So Rashi says, when a person accepts the hora'ah of Bezdin, right, now he's not Kanayim Pogimbo. In other words, that's not a psak anymore. That's not called Kanayim Pogimbo. He's not a kanoi.
He wasn't zealot enough because he went to pause to ask a question.
A person could be a kanoi when he goes on his own.
Yeah.
In certain cases. But once you ask a shaila of a bezdin and they give you a psak, then you can't go ahead and say, I'm going to go against the psak of the bezdin and be a kanoi.
Well, now you're not a kanoi anymore. Maybe that's the point. By stopping to ask for a bezdin, you've proven the fact that you're not really a zealot. You're really just, taking your jolly old time to find out what the psak is. So now that you've taken your jolly old time, so
that's exactly what the Gemara says. Habo limloch ein morin lo v'lo od el shim piresh zimri v'hargo pinchas neragalav. Because then nefach zimri v'hargo lepinchas ein neragalav. Shari rodevu. Right, maybe we'll continue more with that case. I think that's a good case to discuss a little bit further in the context of our halachim morin kein discussion. Okay? And maybe tomorrow, being Thursday, will be the last day we discuss this case, and then we know next week we'll get back to some more meat and potatoes in Bava Kamma. I know some guys enjoyed the sugya, some guys didn't enjoy it so much.
I like the sugya, I just don't know.
Okay, so picking up with the Gemara that we ended off with yesterday, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, according to Chizda, a few lines up from before the lines become wide, one, two, three lines, third to last line in the narrow lines. Amar Rav Chizda, Haba Limloch, Ein Morin Lo. What does that mean? Four lines up? One, two, three, four. Oh, four. I apologize. Four lines up in the narrow lines. So Rav Chizda says, Haba Limloch, Ein Morin Lo. The person comes to be notel Eitza, we'll use that term advisedly for a minute, comes to consult. He comes to consult, then Ein Morin Lo. What does it mean? What is it talking about? Rashi. Amar Rav Chizda, Kanoi, a person who is a self-proclaimed zealot. Haba Limloch Veizdin B'Shas Maisa. He sees a situation which perhaps under normal circumstances would call for his killing of one or both of the parties involved. All right? So if he comes now to ask Bezdin, what should he do? Haba limloch leveistin b'shas ma'isa. Right? He sees these two people engaged in illicit relations. Somehow he sees them. So he goes next door to the Beis Din. He says, listen, I just saw these two people go into a room, and this is what's going on in there. Im yifgabo. He wants to know what should he do, im yifgabo. Ein morimlo. Shalom nemra. El l'makana mi'atzmo ve'enu nimloch. Rav Chizda, says Rashi, is saying that what? This person is not called a kanoi. A kanoi is a person who acts sort of impetuously. He acts instantaneously. He's just moved by the moment to act out on behalf of the honor of Hashem. So this person is more calculated. He's going and asking in Bezdin. Rashi says that's what it means when you say ein morin lo. You don't paskin for him that he should go and kill him. Okay? So this is very similar to our previous sugya of halacha ve'ein morin kein. But here's a little bit different. Because according to most shitas, what do we say halacha ve'ein morin kein meant? That you don't get up and darshan in public. You're not mafarsin. But if someone came and asked you a shayla, you tell him. Habolishol, right? Remember yesterday the drisha? Drisha said, yeah, someone comes and asks you a shayla, and you tell him. Okay, we had the Bach who said, no, ein morin kein means that just that's not the way we rule. So this Gemara seems to be more in line with the Bach's understanding of halacha ein morin kein, but this is clearly a different type of situation, because this is a case where the person is coming, he's asking a shayla, and in some cases apparently we tell him, no, you shouldn't do this, or at least we don't tell him that he should do it. So let's take a look again at Rashi, see if we can have a better understanding of Rashi. And then I'll read you this Yad Ramah, and you'll tell me what you think the Yad Ramah is saying. Right? What does Rashi say that Rav Chizda means? That you don't paskin for him that he should do this. So let's take a different question. Let's say he simply asks. What's the halacha in this case?
You could tell him, you could go through the whole of the sugya and just say, now that you asked, you're not allowed to do anything, but incidentally, next time it happens.
No, let's say he asks, what's the halacha? He says, he comes into Bezdin, and he says, I want to know what the halacha is in this case.
So you say, you personally...
That's not his question. He's not saying, I saw so-and-so kissing Santa. He's saying, I want to know what the halacha is.
Good question.
So, would you say that's morin law or not morin law? Or would they tell him, yeah, there's halacha that kanoi and pogim bo. Now he could still go and decide that he's a kanoi and he could still kill them. If that's the proper reading of Rashi.
Yeah.
Right? Yes or no?
You said that this applies to the need of the ship for the...
Pogim bo. Pogim bo basically means to kill.
And it
okay?
Only applies in this...
Okay, again. So Rashi says, kanoi haba limloch bevesdim... Ubishas ma'isem yifkavo ein morin lo shalom nemra elav makana mi'atzva ve'eno nimloch. But again, what would you say from Rashi if the person comes and stam asks what the halacha is?
Wouldn't be a problem. Why is it any different than we learned before?
What are
you saying? What
would be any different than... Limloch is basically asking, should I do this? Is this a good thing to do? Then you have to tell him, no, you shouldn't do that. But if he says, what's the halacha? Maybe that's okay. That's not a psak. Then he knows. Kanai pogamo, and then he decides he's a kanai. But kanai has to be someone that acts b'shas maisa. Okay, it has to be al das atzma. Can't be at the direction of Beis Din. You're not a kanai if Beis Din tells you to do it. Right? So you wouldn't be a kanai if you're doing it al pi Beis Din. But if Beis Din simply just telling you that this is the rule that kanai and pogam bo, they're not necessarily telling you to do it. So that's why Rashi, the Gemara is dafka using this lashon of limloch. And he's asking, should he do this or not? Then they can't tell him. But if he'll ask, what's the halacha? Huh? So it should be okay. Okay? Actually, I saw something to this effect. Oh, here it is. In this Sefer on Sanhedrin, the Sivos Yom. Sivos Yom is a fairly contemporary Sefer written by a Rav of Yitzchak Meir Simkowitz. I don't know much about him, and I'll be honest, I don't know why I have this particular Sefer. But apparently when I last learned Sanhedrin, someone must have suggested that I get it.
When was it written?
Fairly recently. I don't know. Tavshin Samach Hei. So he's what we would call a Heintiger. Very nice Sefer, nice Ha'aros. So listen to what he writes on this particular piece. So Yonah is correct. Again, the case that we're talking about is what's called Habol Aramis. Habol Aramis Kanayim Pogim Bo. So on this piece, Habol Limloch Ein Morin Lo, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Habol Limloch Beveis Din Boshas Maisa Im Yifka Bo Ein Morin Lo Shalom Nemre Elo Lamakan Abatzal Veino Nimloch Hinei Be'emes Nifsa Kein Lehedji B'Shas. This is the way the Gemara rules. Uba Poskim Da Halacha Hi Da Kanayim Pogim Bo. That is the Halacha. The Halacha is Kanayim Pogim Bo. Elo Kachu Perusho De Ein Morin. So what does it mean, Ein Morin? What does it mean, Ein Morin? It's a halacha. It's a well-established halacha. It's beyond cavil that kanayim pogam bo. So what do you mean now, habal limloch Ein Morin lo? So I'll tell you what it means in light of Rashi. Daf al pi de pigiyazu davar meshubachu, like the Rambam says, de elu hakanayim meshubachim v'zrizim mikom mokom reshusi. It's a reshus. Meaning it's not a chiyuv that a person has to do. Person feels that he's a kanai, and this is what he's legitimately moved for this type of action. It's a rishus to do it. Upashit, he says now. Dim echad bo lishol shelo b'shas ma'isa maroy lasu. So the guy comes to Beis Din. He says, I just want to know if I ever see a case of habol aramis, what's the halacha? So they'll tell him it's a rishus kanayim pogam bo, and that's what he says here. Vade omer lo the rishus la kanayim lufka bo. You have to. That's the halacha. This is not like halacha that you don't tell people. And this is a little bit different than Ein Morin. Halacha of Ein Morin came there, you try to obscure the halacha. Here it's not so much an issue of obscuring the halacha as that you can't paskin for the kanoi, because then he's no longer a kanoi. You can't do it at the directive of Beis Din. It's a little bit different. See? Dafka b'val limloch Ein Morin lasos came. V'im kain otugara ha'bal lishol b'shas maisa mehabal b'choleis. Yeah, you tell him. If he asks you a question, you tell him what the din is. He says, Ein Morin over here means you can't direct him to do it. You can't instruct him to do this. The Sham Ein Magidin Halacha Klal. This is a little different than those other cases that we've seen until now where you don't reveal the halacha because you feel people are going to go awry. Over here, it's simply the case that you can't be more. This way, you could be megala that this is the halacha, but you can't direct him to do it. That's not kanayim pogam bo anymore. Yes, is everyone with me so far? All right. All right. So let's table that for a moment. Now listen to this. Yad Ramah. I have here the Yad Ramah. I know some people like to look in. Daniel. So I'll give you the Yad Ramah. You can follow along as I read it. Is that be good?
Yeah, great.
I know you're all over that.
about to log in.
How's everyone doing so far?
I'm really tired.
Avi?
You
okay? Everything all right?
Pretty well.
Poppy seeds, I guess. That's all true. Okay, so I'll explain again. I'll read the Yad. This is the Yad Rama, one of the Rishon in commenting on this Gemara. So the first thing that we said was that based on Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, it would seem that the only problem is that when the person presents himself to Beis Din and basically says, "Listen, there's this activity going on. What should I do?" Then they can't tell him that that's what he should do. That's no longer Kanoi and Pogimo. He's no longer a Kanoi unless he's motivated on his own to do it. But what we're saying from Rashi, and this is the point that's made by the author of Nesilas Yom, that if it comes to Beis Din and says, "Listen, what's the halacha?" Stam, he's asking a question. What's the halacha? They're allowed to tell him, "This is the halacha." All right, now you want to go off on your own and declare yourself a Kanoi, that's fine. But they can't be Mitzavim. They can't direct him to do it. It can't be the product of a psak of Beis Din.
This is only by
Kanayim Pogimbo. This is only by this case.
Even
of,
to tell me,
we're saying here, yeah, it's different than Halacha V'Morinkin. Halacha V'Morinkin, you're not even allowed to tell the person the Halacha. Here, you're allowed to tell them the Halacha. That's not the problem of revealing the Halacha.
V'Morinkin, you're allowed to tell the guy the Halacha in private, no?
Oh, yes, yes. In that case, there's a further difference. Right, Ein Morinkin means that we obscure the Halacha for the most part. Maybe in the case of a yachid, not. But in general, it means that we obscure the halacha. Over here, we don't obscure the halacha. It's not a matter of obscuring the halacha. The halacha is kanayim pogimbo. That is the rule. What does it mean? Abolimloch ein morinlo. It means that you can't. There's no such thing as being mora to a kanayim pogimbo.
I can't give you permission to do it.
I can't direct you to do it. Oh, I could tell you.
It's
yeah,
a mutter thing, but
I could tell you. Yeah, you want to know what the halacha is? I could tell you. It's mutter.
Saying in general, if someone comes over to ask you halacha, you're going to tell them what the halacha is, not going to tell a person to actually do it. You want to do the halacha or not, it's your choice. The person has an obligation to do it.
No, I come to Beis Din and I want a psak, and I say, okay, this is what you have to do. So you're not allowed to tell you in this case.
So you come with a psak and say, listen, there is a psak out there that says this.
This is the halacha. This is all they're allowed to tell him. This is the halacha. But if he comes right now and says, what should I do?
What are we talking about? What's the case?
He sees a man having relations with a Gentile woman and desecrating the name of Hashem. They're out in the courtyard. They're out in the town square.
Yom Kippur.
Right. They're eating chazer and they're having relations in the town square. Right? So the problem is in terms of based in giving a hora'ah. But it's not a thing that they're not allowed to tell them the rule. You follow? In those other cases, you're not allowed to be mafarsian that this is even the halacha. Over here, there's nothing wrong with getting up and giving a shir, perhaps, and saying, oh yeah, the halacha is kanayim pogimbo. It's only insofar as habal limloch, then ain morim lo. Do you understand the chiluk? Because again, you asked the question, and I saw that maybe.
No, well, you still said in Hebrew words, but I think I got
it. Oh, so which words do you understand? So then tell me which words you don't understand. Oh, habal limloch, if someone comes to ask. Someone comes to ask for advice. They're not allowed to tell them, this is what you should do. But if by halacha ve'in morin kain, we said generally understanding is that you're not allowed to be mefarsim, that you don't get up and give a shir and say, this is the halacha. If someone comes to you privately and says, what should I do? You could tell them, this is what you should do. In the case of the kanayim pogimbo, it's the opposite. You're allowed to get up and give a shir and say, the halacha is kanayim pogimbo. If a guy will come to you now and say, what should I do? Then you're not allowed to tell him. It's almost the exact opposite. Well?
Right.
Okay, let's read the Yad Ramah, and then I'll take your comment, which I'm sure is on point. The Yad Ramah says, what's that?
It's totally
yeah, I was being facetious, I get it. Isn't it? In Ba'odam, Vesha'al, Hine Ploni Bo'el Goya, Mahu...
Goya? You go there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What's he have over there?
I often, but same thing.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah.
Well, again, the Gemara's Lashon was really Goya, right?
Right,
Mahu Lelech Ulahargo, Ein Morin Lo. Shelo nitna rishus elo lamakana meyatzmo. The osa maysai deyatzmo. Aval ayide shliach lo. Vahai ki osa umemlach iyamina leizil kitol havele shluchim. All right, I mean, there's more, but up to that point, what is the Yad Ramah saying? He's explaining what the problem is over here.
You can't tell
he says if someone will
it.
Come to Beis Din and say, listen, so and so is being boel a goya right now outside. Should I go and kill them? Or should I go and kill him? Ain't more in law. No, they're not allowed to tell him, yeah, go kill him. Why? Because the whole rule of Kanoim Pogimbo is that the person is allowed to take the initiative on his own. The osa maisa de'atzmo avali de'shaliach lo. It can't be that I could dispatch someone else to do it. He's not a kanoi. I'm the kanoi. So too now, Bezdin can't make this guy their shaliach.
Can Bezdin do it themselves?
Can a member of Bezdin do it?
Yeah.
If they see it, if they're kanoi, it doesn't sound like that's the case. I mean, it can't be really a function of a psak. That's the problem.
Okay, fine. But it's possible that...
I'll go with the other one more time. So Yarma says again, if a person will come and ask and say, Hine ploni bol goya, right? Yankel is having relations with a shiksa. Mahu leilech lehargo. Am I allowed to go and kill him? Ain more lo. They're not allowed to tell him that. Shol nit nereshus. Ela makana me'atzmo. Do'osa ma'isai de'atzmo. Avaloy de'shliach lo. In other words, he's the makana, so let him go and do it. Once he goes to Bezdin, now Bezdin's making him into their agent. There's no such thing as kanayim pogimbo in that way. Now Yonah's asking, well, let's say in hearing this, one of the members of Bezdin is so irate, comes out and sees himself. Yeah, maybe that's still kind of important for that fellow. You're right. But then listen to the end of the language. V'hai ki osam memloch. This that the Talmud uses, Rabbi Chizkiah uses that lashon. If a person will come and ask, I aminin lezil katol. If you'll tell him when he comes, you'll tell him, go and kill havle shluchim. You made him into a shaliach. One second, but what if they would tell him that there's Allah of Kanayim Pogimba? Would that be okay?
Could be.
Because
but
what?
They don't tell them, they're not saying they're not making
right. Not make it, that doesn't make him into a shaliach. The problem over here, this is, I would say, similar to Rashi. The problem is over here that basically you're telling him this is what you got to do. You're making him an agent of Bezdin. So if you tell him Lech Ketol, Zil Ketol, you tell him go kill. So who's doing the killing now? It's at the directive of Bezdin. That's no longer Kanayim Pogimbo.
Is that a problem?
That's the problem. That would be a problem. But let's say they told him, the halacha is Kanayim Pogimbo. L'chara, that would be okay.
Or he's not directed to him.
Exactly. You tell him this is the halacha. Now, you want to decide that you're a Kanayim, you feel that way? Gesundheit.
Sounds good.
Okay, one other... Yeah, sorry, into that one. This is the middle of the Chidushi Haran on this Gemara. Yesh Sholin. There are those who ask. Heich Omar Moshe Kach L'Pinchas. How was Moshe able to tell Pinchas that, yeah, the right thing for him to do was to kill? Sheyilich v'yaharog v'harminan shimbolim loch emorin lo. It's a funny kind of question. You usually don't have these kinds of questions from a sugya and shas on a pre-matan Torah account. What's the matter? Question.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so Yonah's pointing out that the incident involving...
Remember, it was when we were entering the land that
right.
The Midianites and Moabites came out, so that's 38 years
Okay, good, good point. So this was already after Matan Torah. It's not like a kasha from the Avos. This, right? I'm saying those kashas you do have. But this is after Matan Torah, so now we're ready to at least understand the kasha. So how was Moshe able to tell him this? V'har minan shem ba'alem loch ein morin lo. V'hatshuva, says the Ran, shem Moshe lo horu lo... Didn't give him hora. Shelo hora lo. That's what he uses. Upinchas lo nimloch bo. He didn't paskin, and Pinchas didn't really ask him what to do. Elo shehu hiskir shmuasa b'fnei Moshe, hu heishiv lo imlasos bo din lo amarta klom v'im lakana bo ad she'ata omer lacherim and mor la'atzmacha she'en lacharoy mimcha. What does that mean? That's one answer. Second answer is inami shemoshe b'ne lo ra'a. I'll read it again. Yesh, there are those who ask, Heich Omar Moshe LePinchas Sheilich B'Yaharog. How is Moshe able to tell Pinchas that he is in fact allowed to kill? Do we not know that there is a rule? She'imbo limloch ein morin lo. V'tireins, Chidush Haran says, the teretz to this question is, she'moshe lo horo lo. Really, Moshe didn't direct him to do this. U'pinchas lo nimloch. And Pinchas wasn't really asking what he should do. Ela hiskir shmuasa lefnei Moshe. All he did was basically say over the learning in front of Moshe. V'hu heishiv lo. And Moshe basically, after he said over the din of Kanayim Pogimbo, what did Moshe tell him? Im lasos.
So too, the creation verse says,
Hamasos bo din lo amarta klum. If you're asking in terms of what the din is, so you didn't say anything. Ve'im lakanabo. And if you're talking about the kinah that's involved, what are you worried about other people not doing it? If you're so makana, then you the makana should be the one to do it. So let's just take that first answer for a moment. What is he saying in the first answer? Why wasn't it not in violation of this principle? Haba limlach ein morinlo. Because what? The person didn't come to ask a shayla.
Moshe didn't tell.
And Moshe wasn't giving hara. What was he doing? He was just saying over his shmua. And Moshe didn't tell him, but Torah's hara. Because then what? Then you're back to the same problem we had before. Then you're back to being an extension of a body of pshat, a bezdin. You're essentially a shaliach. So he didn't ask, and he wasn't telling him. He was just telling him, listen, if this is the question, then this would be the right thing to do. They're not passing for him.
The thing is, though, the way that it went down, is it says that it was in front of the Beis Din itself, and Moshe.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they directed him to do it.
No, I know, but it was in front of all of them.
Yeah, it had their tacit approval.
Yeah. Well, no.
Still need to be a kanoi. Still need to be a kanoi to do it.
I'm saying like it was happening.
But there's a second answer.
Once Moshe was reminded, he could have gone out himself and done it.
Had he seen it, right? But then I guess that fits with this law. She'ein lecha roi mimcha. He tells him, "Emor la'atzmacha she'ein lecha roi mimcha." There's no better person for the job than you. You're the one that's all fired up about it. This isn't really like a job for a guy like you.
Very fine.
What's the second answer? Inami. Moshe Rabbeinu lo ra ba'osasha laniyach hadavar b'shus hamakanin. Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't want to leave the matter over to those zealots. El ra lirmoz lo al hadavar leho ra'osha b'shus hayteyotin hamagifa b'yisrael. What's the second answer? First answer says, tell him, listen, you're saying good, and as far as Kanayim go, you're the best guy for the job. But he wasn't telling him to go do it. It wasn't a directive. He wasn't asking. He wasn't getting psak. He's just saying, listen, you're saying the right thing, and as far as Kanayim go, I know there's no better person for the job than you. But what does he say in the second answer? That Moshe Rabbeinu wa inami. It's a different answer. What's the inami? She Moshe Rabbeinu lo ra'a ba'oso sha'a lahaniach hadavar b'shus hamakanin. He didn't want to leave this matter in the hands of the Mekanim.
Mekanim or the who?
The zealots.
You mean just the rest of the zealots, other than Pinchas?
He wanted it done quickly. He didn't want to leave it, up to chance.
You mean zealots, meaning some guy who may have...
May or may not do it.
Yeah. You know, the rabbi, the 200 people witnessing the event.
Right. It sounds like... So what's he saying? He didn't want to leave it up. So what did he do? What did he do to make sure that didn't happen?
He could tell the halacha, but just not tell.
Well, he says he was merames el ra lirmozlo. He wanted to really hint to Pinchas al hadavar lehora asha.
In other words, he wanted.
He was telling, listen, you're the best guy for the job.
Too, is
basically, but basically directing him to do it.
Way,
but what was it?
Yeah.
What was it? It was a special Hora Asha. In the second answer, he's saying, you know what? You're right. This was closer to Hora. The first answer is saying, there was no Hora here at all. He didn't ask and he didn't tell him. He just told him, as far as Kanayim go, you're a big Kanayim. If you're asking me if you're a Kanayim, you're a big Kanayim. Right? And the second answer, what's he saying?
Sounds like Moshe's reminding Pinchas.
Second answer is, I sort of like trying to encourage him to do it.
Like, there, by the way, there's a halacha that says this and this, as opposed to Pinchas. So Moshe's the initiator.
But he's using the lashon of hara. He says it was a hara shah. He's basically telling him that, listen, the halacha is that Kanayim should do this.
Yeah, correct.
Right? That's different than the first answer. The first answer is saying that there was no hara here at all. I'm just telling you of my learning, and you're telling me, yeah, you know what? As far as Kanayim go, I know you're a big Kanayim. But that's it. That's much more obtuse.
Yeah,
and the second answer, the Ran is saying, you know what? He was really trying to get him to do it. Yeah. He wanted it done now. So he was trying to almost light a fire under him. Okay. And he was telling him, he was being merames to him, what? What's the lesson again? I keep... He wanted the magefa to stop. So he wanted to put an end to this public znus.
Yep.
But that was a harasha.
What is harasha?
I mean, it was exigent circumstances.
Oh, meaning that he really did tell him.
It was a form of hara, but it was a step, one step closer to hara,
yeah.
But harasha. It was a case of great need.
Yeah.
I mean, stomach case, maybe you're right. Moshe wouldn't even have said that. That's too close to being mora. But because of the exigent circumstances, because of the great need and having this magefa stopped, Moshe sort of pushed the envelope.
Meaning he reminded Pinchas that there is such a halacha.
Yeah, he said it was merames to him. So he merames to him that he's the man for the job.
Yeah.
He's able to do this.
By the way, Pinchas, remember this halacha, and by the way, you happen to be a zealot, right?
Right, right.
Wink, wink.
Right, so that's the distinction between the first answer and the second answer. That the Avodas Dovid makes that hara, by the way, that there's a difference of a nuance, difference of approach between the first answer and the second answer. Are you okay, or you checked out totally? You could be honest. I mean, if I had to guess, I think I know the answer. But are you okay? You want me to review it, or it's not? That's not an issue. Yeah. Just, all right, so I guess we'll stop here and be another next week. We'll pick up with at some point in Bava Kamma. We'll just continue to move in a linear fashion as we've been doing before we got involved in the city. Okay. I don't know, the Shia seems to be changing in terms of its population, so I'm not really sure. I assume we could do the sugya of Zimun, maybe. I'm not sure. Let's do about that.
I don't know.
I don't know.